Hey, to jump in today's message, last Sunday, of course, was we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ on Easter Sunday. Today, we're looking at a message titled, He is Risen, the Sequel. He is Risen, the Sequel. Before I get into it, before I pray, before I read our text, I want to tell you a couple little stories real quick to help you to get a feel for where we're going. The first one, maybe you've heard tell of them. There was a story that was told along the way about these three little pigs. You ever hear of those guys? Anybody ever hear about them? There was these three little pigs, and there was a wolf that was after them, and they knew they needed some shelter, and they needed to do something to try to protect themselves. So the one little pig, he got this bright idea that he would build a house out of... Oh, you're pretty good. He would build the house out of straw. So he built this house out of straw. He assembled it. He went inside. He felt like he was good. And then one day the wolf came by, and the wolf came up and knocked on the door of his straw house, and he said, little pig, let me in. And what did the pig say? I should just let you tell the story. Yeah. Not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. And the wolf said, then I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow the house in. And he huffed and he puffed and he blew the house in. And I don't know if he ate the pig or he ran away. It depends on whether it, which version of the story you heard. So the pig, and so then with that pig, he ran to another house because the second pig had a different idea. He said, I'm going to build a house out of sticks. Out of sticks, not straw. So he built the house out of sticks. And he built this house out of sticks. And then the wolf came to that house. And the wolf came up and he knocked on the door. And he said, little pig, let me in. And the pig said, you're dying off a little, but you're holding your own. Not by the, and he said, and the wolf said, then I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house in. And he huffed and he puffed and he blew the house in of the pig's house that was made with sticks. The end. There was another story that I heard one time of a woman, and her name was Cinderella. And it's a sad story. Her dad died. And when her dad died, she had to live with her evil stepmother. Her dad had married this evil woman. I don't know how she did that, but she tricked him or something. And he married this woman. And so now she lived with her stepmother and her two stepsisters. And they treated her terrible. They treated her really bad. Cinderella was greatly mistreated in there. And then the prince in the kingdom decided that he was going to have a ball to find a bride. He needed to find a bride. So he's going to throw this big ball, this big celebration to find a bride. And all the young women from the kingdom, all the single women, they're all invited out for it. So the stepmother, she says that her stepdaughters can go to it, but she told Cinderella, you can't go to the ball. You have to stay home and clean the house. The end. Yeah. And then there was this story I read in the Bible about a guy named Jonah. And Jonah was a guy who he ran away from God when God called him and told him to go to Nineveh. And he said, I'm not going there. And he went and he bought a ticket. And he bought a ticket to go to Tarshish. And when he left on the boat, a big storm came. And God sent a storm to try to stop him. And the guys on the boat, they figured out that the storm was because Jonah was running from God. So they threw Jonah off the boat. And he landed in the water. And a fish swallowed him. The end. And then there's one more story that I want to tell you today. And it's a story of when God left heaven and Jesus came to earth. And he came to earth, he was born of a virgin, and he lived a life without sin. And he lived this whole life without sin, and yet he was still crucified. The Bible tells us that your sin and my sin were removed from us and they were placed on him. He went to the cross to pay for our sins. And Jesus hung on a cross and he bled and he died. And then he was buried in a tomb for 3 days. And after 3 days in that tomb, the Spirit of God came into that tomb and breathed life back into the lifeless body of Jesus Christ. The stone was rolled away and Jesus walked out of the tomb. The end. No, just as ridiculous. Just as ridiculous to end the story right there as it was to end any of the other stories where we ended them, because that's not the end. That's not the end. Look at this with me. Easter has a sequel, and you're in it. You're in it. It's not the end of the story. Let me read this to you in Matthew chapter 28. The story keeps going. It says here, then Jesus came to them. This is after the resurrection. Jesus resurrected. Now, if I watch a movie, if I see a play, things that are around Easter time, they tend to always be the stone rolls away and Jesus comes walking out and there's a bright light and the music rises. Dun, 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 and Jesus comes out, boom, Jesus resurrected. The end. But it isn't really the end. It's not even the end of the story in the Bible, in the Gospels or anything. It keeps going after that. That's not the end of the story. We get this. Then Jesus, after all that, then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So there will be an end, but not yet. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word. I pray that you would encourage us from it today. I pray that you would challenge us through it. I pray that we would be equipped through the preaching of your word. You'd give us the tools we need to live for you as we spend time in your word, Lord. Speak to our hearts in the name of Jesus. Church, would you pray with me? Lord, here am I. Use me for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hollywood loves sequels. If a movie is a big hit, then the story isn't over. This week, of course, what's the big movie this week? Yeah, some of you are calling it out. Avengers. What is it called? I think it's called Endgame. Even it's the end of this. There's been like 165 of them so far. All these superheroes, not really, but there's been a lot of them, and there's a sequel after sequel. And if a movie is good, they make another one. Toy Story was great, so what do they do? Toy Story 2, what do they do then? And what's going to happen this summer? Toy Story 4, we like The Incredibles, Incredibles 2. Kevin got left home alone, we thought it was funny, so they lost him again. And just keep losing that kid, because we like it, and we want another one, and another story. Rocky might have lost to Apollo Creed. Don't matter. Another movie's coming. He'll beat him the next time. Hollywood will just keep the story going. They know we like the sequel. God had the whole sequel thing down long before they ever came up with it. And resurrection was big, of course. Jesus rose from the grave. We celebrated it, but it was not the end of the story. It was not the end of the story. The story continues, and you're in it. Jesus rose, and he commissioned his followers with this ultimate assignment: go tell everyone now about me. Go tell everyone what you've seen and heard. Go tell everyone what you know. Go teach them what I taught you. Go baptize them as you've been baptized. Go do this. And he sent them out. Now, most of us, we know the story of Gideon well, and I refer to him from time to time. He's a great illustration for us all together. Gideon is a guy who was hiding, of course, from his enemy. Gideon's a guy, and I got a picture. This, of course, is not the actual wine press where he was hiding, but it's an illustration of that. Gideon was hiding in a wine press. Gideon was, and what a wine press is, this is an illustration of one, is you would throw grapes into it, and there's a hole in the bottom of it, so that when you would step on the grapes, they'd actually get in there and step on the grapes. And when you stepped on the grapes, of course, the juice comes out. I'm trusting they washed their feet first. I know that we just did that whole Last Supper thing a couple of weeks ago. But you step on them, and the juice runs through a hole in the bottom, and they collect it. And that's what this wine press is. Well, Gideon was in a wine press, and he was in there threshing wheat. Now, normally you would never thresh wheat in there, but he was hiding. He was hiding. Now, if we know the account, you know that an angel showed up, called him a mighty man of valor, commissioned him to go for God, and gave him a task. The whole thing with Gideon was this. What Gideon is in, it's like a cave what he was in. But Gideon wasn't created for a cave. He was created for a cause. Gideon was not made for the press. He was made for a purpose. And that's true for you and I as well. We were not made to hide as followers of God. We were not made to pull back. We were made with a purpose upon us. We're commissioned by God to go for him. Why are we here as a local church? Why are we a part of it? Why do we give to support missionaries around the globe? Why are we witnesses of Christ to our neighbors and our classmates and our coworkers? Why does God want us to share our faith with others? It's all because we have a purpose. We have a cause. And I want to talk to you about that some today. And of course, there are different ways we do that. When I was a new believer, I knew I needed to be a light to, I didn't know immediately, but once I'd been a believer for a bit, I knew I needed to be a light to those around me. And I was like, man, how am I going to share my faith with others? And I got this brilliant idea. I had a dog. He was about this high. I got this brilliant idea that I would shave the word Jesus into each side of my dog. I'm not making this up. And I said, and I thought, but if my dog says Jesus, then surely many people will give their lives to Christ through this. But I figured that it would spark conversation or something, that people would ask me about my Jesus dog. So I pinned my dog down, and I managed to get a J in his side, and I got about half of an E into him, and that was the end of it, because at that point he was going to rip my arms apart if I continued to attempt to shave the side of him. He just wouldn't tolerate it. So all I had was like a J dog on one side after that. But I was trying. I was like, man, I've got to let people know. I've got to let people know about Christ. We've all got to let people know about Christ. Don't go home and shave your dog. Unless your dog's really laid back. Maybe you could give it a shot then. But my dog didn't cooperate with it. But we want to be used by God to creatively reach those around us. And the reason we want to do that, I want to give you some things today off of that commission. One of the reasons is because heaven is a real place. Heaven is a real place. It's easy to think of reaching those who are lost, reaching those who we have a heart for, that God has a heart for, as something we do to keep people out of hell. And we'll get to that, because that's also true. That's also important. But God is not just trying to keep people out of hell. God's trying to get people into heaven. God's trying to get people into heaven, to spend eternity with Him. Jesus told a parable of a wedding feast. He said there was this guy, he was throwing a wedding, and his daughter's getting married. He has the whole banquet hall prepared. He invites all the dignitaries, special people, everybody he knows. He invites them all to come to the wedding. It's a big deal. He invites so many. The invitations went out in great quantity. But not only did the guests not come to the wedding, they even insulted him in their response, is the parable that Jesus told. Now, I picked on him earlier. I will again. Enzo and Melanie are getting married in August. They're our engaged couple. Anybody else in here engaged? Don't raise your hand by faith. I'm talking about like literally. You already got somebody. Yeah. You're like, Pastor, I booked the hall by faith. So there are. Can you imagine that Enzo and Melanie sent out their wedding invitations and somebody got them in the mail and replied, I can't come. I have to mow my grass that day. Because somebody said that in the parable Jesus told. I have to work in the field. Like, I have to go work in the field. Oh, I have to mow the grass that day. Can you imagine if somebody replied, oh, I'm sorry I can't come to your wedding. I ordered something from Amazon, and I'm expecting the package to be delivered that day. I can't come. Oh, sorry, I can't come that day. And fill in the blank, whatever it is. Yeah, I'm going to have I have a dentist appointment or whatever. The people responded insultingly to him of saying they didn't want to respond. So what the guy did who planned the banquet is he then sent out those who worked for him, and he said, then go bring everybody. Just go bring anybody. Go to the shelters, go to the alleys, go to the back streets, go anywhere and bring them, because I want this place to be full. But it was an illustration of the heart of God and His desire with eternity as well. That God is preparing this great marriage supper of the Lamb, this banquet feast, and God wants it to be packed. He wants it to be packed. He wants everybody there. He wants as many people as possible to come to it. That's the heart. That's the Father's heart's desire. It's for it to be a packed out place, to have many guests in there. Now, I remember years ago when I first moved to the city of Yonkers, and I got there, and I'm a football fan. I when I say football, I know that many of you, when you say football, you mean that unusual round white ball that you kick around that I don't know what to do with anyway, and that I call soccer. But American football, I'm a football fan. And I moved to Yonkers, and I pastored a church there that was very similar to our church here, in that it was a church that it was predominantly all immigrants. But what also happened when I got there is that I discovered that there were virtually no football fans. So they love the World Cup. Come on, I got the right church again, right? Same deal, yeah. So, but they weren't really NFL fans, they weren't football fans. But I had just got there, and it was like toward the end of the football season, and I thought, oh, it'd be cool to get some guys together, and we'll watch football, we'll watch the Super Bowl. And I ordered a couple of pizzas and some chicken wings, and I told some guys, hey, come over and watch football. And the time came for the game, and guess how many people came? No one. Still gets to me. No, not really. But no one. I'm not exaggerating. Not one person. Nobody cared about football. Nobody came. I was like, what? Nobody came. But I was happy because I was like, woohoo, more pizza for me. But not really. You're not happy when you plan something and no one comes. You don't think more food for me. No. The whole idea was, what I had to learn to do, of course, was to also like soccer. Yeah, so you can invite me over when you watch soccer, and I'll come watch you kick the ball around or something. Yeah, so I learned that. But that's the same with God. God is not planning this big thing in eternity, and then when not many people come, God's like, hey, that's okay, more chicken wings for me. No, That's not, God wants the place packed. God wants heaven full. God wants everybody to be there. He's prepared this incredible place that he wants everyone to come to. That's his heart's desire. It is an incredible place. It's a place where everything changes. It's a place where every tear is wiped away. It's a place where there's no more death or crying or pain or suffering or sickness or sin. Righteousness reigns in that place. Life on earth is filled with tears no matter who you are, even for believers. And we thank God for his presence, his strength, his peace while we're here. But God wants to get people to a place where everything changes, where nothing is like it was here. And God puts us in the story after the resurrection. He puts us in the story so that we can let people know of all he's done so that they can also go and spend eternity with him as well. He wants everybody to believe in Jesus. He wants everybody to follow him. That's the heart of God. He wants everybody's name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the book. That's the book that gives you a reserved seat in heaven, the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, 1 year on our wedding anniversary, I made an anniversary for Sarai and I at the top of the rock. The top of the rock. Now, that is in New York City. The restaurant is on the top level of the Rockefeller Center, and it's fancy. It's a nice place. So I made a reservation well in advance. We were set. Sarai and I go into the city, into Manhattan, on our anniversary, and we get there. We open the door to come in, and as we come in, there's a long line of people. A long line, wrapping all the way out in the lobby, all these people. It's like, hey, what's everybody waiting in line for? Oh, we're waiting to get into the restaurant. Oh, so I don't stand there very long until I discover something about this line. These are the people who don't have what I have. You know what they don't have? They don't have a reservation. But I have a reservation. So I just walked right by those peasants. I was like, nope, nope, yeah. And we just walked. I was like, come on through. Yes, yeah. And we just walked all the way through to the front of the line, everybody behind us, and we step up, may I help you? Yes, James Williams. And they looked in the book, and guess what was in the book? James Williams. You're going to say, surely his name's not there. That's going to be the story. No, James Williams. Into the elevator, up we go. I go, why? Because my name is in the book. My name is in the book. God wants everybody's name in the book. God wants everybody's name in the Lamb's Book of Life. So he sends us forth, he commissions us to let people know about him, even as people let us know about him, so that their names can be written in the Lamb's Book of Life as well, because God wants heaven to be packed. Heaven is a real place. But not only is heaven a real place, not only is eternity with God a real place, hell is a real place. The lake of fire is a real place. Eternity apart from God is a real place as well. Eternity is a long time. It's a long time. Life on earth is short. And every person who has ever lived is going to exist forever in one of two places, with God or without him. Heaven or hell. New Jerusalem, eternity with God, new heavens and a new earth, or a place prepared for the devil and his demons, the lake of fire. And Jesus, when he taught about these places, he drew these contrasts between them. He said, in heaven, there's no more crying and tears are wiped away. But he said, in hell, there's weeping in that place. Jesus said that in heaven, there's no more pain. But he said that in hell, there's fire and gnashing and grinding of teeth of trying to find relief from the pain. He said that in heaven, there is light. But he said that in hell, there is darkness. He said in heaven, it is a place where you're welcome. But that hell is a place where you're thrown out, you're cast out. Hell is a horrifying place, but God doesn't want anyone to go there. 2 Peter 3:9 says this. I'm not really sure what that rattling is. We've been getting it today. Yeah, it's not just in my head, right? You guys also hear it? All right. Okay. It says this in 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but how many people? How many? Everyone. God wants everyone to come to repentance. The Bible teaches us that far more people are on the road that leads to destruction than find the path that leads to life. But the path to hell is described as a wide road, the way to heaven, a narrow way. And that's true. There's more on that wide path. But that doesn't mean God doesn't want everybody on the narrow way. And there's always room for someone else on the narrow way. You think I should switch to that mic? Or was it doing with that one as well? No? We're good? Okay, but I'm saying, should I switch to the other microphone? We could try that one. Da-na-na-na-na-na-na. Da-na-na-na-na.
It's got to be something from Soberano. We never have this problem when they're not here. We're trying. I'm going to keep going. So it's not my mic then, because it's doing it without it as well. Yeah, we'll keep trying to mute everything and figure it out. So I'm going to go back to mine.
One. He's working hard in the back. But I'm docking your check. Anyway, so. he's working to figure it out. All right, let me jump back in. Again, hell's a real place. God doesn't want anybody there. It's a terrible place. God wants everyone on the path that leads to life. Somebody say everyone.
Everyone.
Good people? Oh, sorry, I was saying it as a question. Does God want good people in heaven?
Yes.
Does God want bad people in heaven?
Yes.
Does God want people you don't like in heaven? Does God want the coworker that you know that just gets on your nerves that you wish they worked somewhere else in heaven?
Yes.
Yes, God does. God wants everyone in heaven. I drove for Uber once for a few months. And one time I got a ride and where I was picking up somebody named Jimmy. And I thought, that's pretty cool. I don't really get called Jimmy anymore, but it was my name growing up always was that. And I thought, that's kind of cool. It'll be something to make conversation about. And I pulled up, and I pulled up in front of the house. And when I'm there, you're taking an Uber, most of you. Someone comes out, but a woman came out of the house. But that happens sometimes. Because sometimes people share the app, couples or whatever, use the same app or whatever. So it could be whoever. So she comes out and she gets in the car and I spoke and I was like, good morning, how are you doing? And then she answered and I realized that is Jimmy. You'll get that in a second. Yeah, a couple of you will. Yeah, that was Jimmy, all right? That didn't look like Jimmy. But that was Jimmy right there. Yeah, that was Jimmy. And that was, and of course, then that's a little shocking to me when that happened, because I didn't see that coming along the way. And but you know what? That being said, any one of us, I could look at that and think, no, this is not how you're supposed to live. God doesn't want you to live this way. This isn't God's plan for your life. But you know what? God loves Jimmy. God loves Jimmy. God wants Jimmy to spend eternity with him in heaven. God doesn't look at anybody's sin and say, well, your sin is too vile. Your sin is too extreme. God says all have sinned and fall short of his glory. Everybody has sinned and fall short. Everybody needs a Savior. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell, no matter what their sin is, no matter what their situation is. And we have to remember in life that the way we respond to people as well and the way we interact with them along the way is so powerful that we can't treat Jimmy like he's got the plague. We've got to demonstrate the love of God to Jimmy, because God doesn't want Jimmy to go to hell. God wants Jimmy to go to heaven. Are you with me? God wants it for every one of us, just like he wants you, just like he wants all. Jesus died for everyone. Everyone needs a Savior. Let me keep moving. God loves people. God doesn't just love good people or some people or people who love him back or church people. God loves all people, all people. You know God doesn't screen his calls. You do. You screen your calls, but God doesn't screen his calls. You get a number and you don't recognize it and you don't answer it. You get a number sometimes and you do recognize it and you still don't answer it. Hello. You're like, nope, that ain't happening. And along the way. But God doesn't screen his calls. God answers the phone always. I have a friend who's a pastor in India who would call me at like 2:00 in the morning. I'd answer the phone because I would see the name. I'll be like, hello. And they would just start talking like it was 2:00 in the afternoon. I'll be like, it's 2:00 in the morning here. And they're like, oh, you were asleep? Ha, 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 ha. Well, listen, let me tell you what's happening. They just keep on talking. I'm like, what? Like, I'm in bed. It's the middle of the night. Yeah. And God doesn't care if people call him at 2:00 in the morning. God doesn't care. I have a couple of people that I love them, but I had to block them on WhatsApp because they would just send me crazy things at 3:00 in the morning. My phone would be beeping by the bed. Beep, beep. I look at it, forward this to 10 people if God loves you. I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm trying to sleep. You know what I'm talking about. Come on. Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead. You know who does it? I'm going to point him out right now. Not really. Yeah. But God doesn't mind that. God likes when it beeps at 3:00 in the morning. God wants to hear from everyone all the time. God loves everybody. God loves all people. He wants to be with everyone. He wants to get to know everyone. He wants everyone to get to know him. God loves all of us and everyone all the time. God loves us so much that he was not willing to allow our sins or our failures or our shortcomings to keep us away from him. You can say it with me. John 3:16. Come on. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Reaching the lost, finding the lost, rescuing the perishing, saving those without hope. It's the very heart of God. And when we invite a friend or a neighbor or someone to come to Christ and to learn more about Him, we're participating in the sequel, if you will, in the very heart of God. There was a guy named Andrew who was one of the first people to believe in Jesus when you read through the Gospels. He's one of the very first guys to ever believe in Jesus. And after he believed that Jesus was the Messiah, we find this verse in John 1:42. In fact, the Bible specifically says in John 1 it was the first thing he did. Then Andrew brought Simon, that's Simon Peter, then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. It wasn't just enough that Andrew met Jesus. It was, no, I'm going to bring somebody else with me. If you remember the story of the woman in Samaria who was at the well after Jesus encountered her there, the Bible says she went back into town and she told everybody she knew. She said, come and see a man who told me all about me, who told me everything about me. Well, that's our call as well. Hey, come and see, come and see. Come with me. Come and meet Him also is the call on our lives. We've been commissioned, empowered with this specific purpose as well upon our lives. It's so important that we walk in it. And then let me give you a final thought on that of why we do it. And that is, it's because of this. Good news is only good news if you know about it. It's only good news if you know about it. Now, I do have some good news this morning. It's not about my car insurance. I do have some good news this morning other than the gospel. Catch this one. How many of you have been to Rita's? Yeah, raise your hand. Come on, place is awesome. You been to Rita's? It's delicious. It's delicious. They have these like different flavored ices and custards. There's one just right up the road here on the right. You will ride by there and the line will be clean out through the parking lot. And there's one up in Olney. I know there's some others around, but Rita's is delicious. It is so good. I just want to go there right now. Rita's is really good. It's a great treat altogether, man. It's good. Well, Rita's has this special going where it's only for one day. You don't need a coupon. You don't need to dress up like a cow, like how Chick-fil-A does, whatever. You don't have to do anything. You do nothing but show up. Show up. And you can bring your kids. I'm not making this up. This is 100% true what I'm telling you. You can bring all of your kids. You can do everything. And everybody gets a free icy on this one day. All you got to do is show up and be there. You, your spouse, your kids, your grandmother. I don't know if they'll give it to your dog. Everybody gets one. Everybody just gets a free icy just for showing up on this. The whole church could go and we'll all get a free icy. The thing is, though, you have to go there on Wednesday, March 20th. Are you with me? Help your neighbor. You have to go there. Did somebody say I was there? You have to go there on Wednesday. It's not good news anymore. It was only good news if I told you it before March 20th. It's worthless information at this stage of the day. It's true. It's all true, but it isn't good news anymore because you already missed it. You already missed out on the opportunity. What good is the information if it's after the fact? Hey, that's true with the gospel in a much greater capacity. The good that Jesus came and died, that we could be forgiven of our sins and we can trust in Him and He can be the Lord of our lives, that's good news. But I'll tell you what, once somebody enters into eternity, it won't be good news then. It's only good news if you find out now. It's only good news if you hear it now. That this couple that was up here this morning, that they're headed to reach folks that have no adequate witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's good news if they can get to them now. It won't be good news once they enter into eternity because it's too late to participate then. You need the information ahead of time to do that. Why do we hold outreaches for our community? Why do we give tens of thousands of dollars away each year to missionaries, which we do? Why do we print the door hangers or buy Facebook ads or hold special events? Why do we do all of these things? These things cost money, of course, and why would we do them? And we could say, wow, is there enough money really to support all these missionaries and reach out to our community and do all these things? Listen, we will never run out of money. We are running out of time. We are running out of time. Time is what is precious. Every day people die and enter into eternity without God. Money is not the issue. Time is the issue. Getting to people in time. It's only good news if you know about it. It's so important that we continue to go. Every day in our city and all around the globe, people enter eternity without Him. But God doesn't want that. God sent His Son because He wants everyone to be with Him. It should give us a renewed sense of urgency. Silver Spring needs Jesus. Washington, D.C. needs Jesus. Rockville needs Jesus. Wheaton needs Jesus. Gaithersburg needs Jesus. Montgomery County needs Jesus. The whole region, the whole world, we need to creatively share an old message in fresh ways with a dying world because they need Jesus. Jesus calls himself the bread of life, the bread of life. Come on, you know as well as I do that fresh bread is like one of the most amazing things on the planet to eat. It's incredible. Just the smell of it is unbelievable. You go in a restaurant and they put like warm, fresh bread on the table before they bring your food. It's like, don't even bother to take my order. Just keep the bread coming. Keep it coming. This is what I want to eat. It's amazing. Forget the low carb thing. Come on. This is delicious. So it tastes so good with that. Man, Jesus said he's the bread of life. And we are the distributors of that, if you will. That's our call as a church on our lives as we go out, as we head to the classroom, the workplace, our neighborhood, everywhere we go, we're delivering that. We weren't born to hide. We weren't born for a cave. We were born for a cause, not for a press, for a purpose, as I mentioned with Gideon. You can't live in hiding. Let me give you one last thing and then close today. I was in Puerto Rico last year working with Convoy of Hope some after the hurricane. My wife and I were there, and we saw one of the greatest tragedies I think we've seen in our lifetimes as I could go down to the port in San Juan, when there's a giant wall, and on the other side of the wall, there are multiple, countless containers filled with food and water and supplies. And even Convoy of Hope had multiple containers on the other side of the wall, and we could not get them out. They would not let us get them. It was crazy. Bureaucracy, red tape, government, union contracts, run the list of all the strings attached to get it out and all the things. But people were starving and without water. And just on the other side of the wall, there's just a ton of supplies that we are not giving to anybody. It's right there. And they don't have it. Listen, the news of Jesus Christ, it doesn't do any good to somebody behind a wall. Like when we're in here and we come in here and we sing and we celebrate and it's all wonderful, but the people on the other side of the wall are who need it. It doesn't do any good on this side of the wall. We have to get it to those who need it. We have to reach out to our community. We have to be a light to those around us. Resurrection isn't the end of the story. There is a sequel and you're in it. Let's pray. Let's give. Let's go until everyone has heard of Jesus Christ. Amen? Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. In the text that I read today, Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to everybody, teach them the things I've taught them. And then he said this, baptize them. We're going to baptize a couple of people before you leave today, but I'm going to pray first. Then I'm going to ask you to go back to your seat, and I'm hoping you won't leave. And I'm hoping that the water is not, we were going to do this earlier in the service, and the water was freezing cold. It still is. No, not really. Yeah, it's a little bit better. It's definitely better. We had a problem with the pump this morning, so that's why we waited until now, because we wanted to give it a chance to warm up. So, but the folks who are being baptized today are from Sierra Leone, so they're used to cold temperatures. All right, so... maybe not. Brother Donald said to me, you're from New York, it shouldn't matter. I was like, I'm from New York, they're from Sierra Leone. But we're still excited about that. But first things first, I want to pray a fresh anointing on us. I want to pray just for God to empower us as we go, for God to empower us as we go out to be lights in the world. It's not always easy to be a light in the darkness. It's so easy to just blend in. We're going to work hard as a church to continue to equip you in ways by doing things, holding events, those door hangers we're praying. You'll see more things like that along the way to help you to be able to go and be a light to your neighbor and make it easier to invite them out. But sometimes, man, you just got to be bold and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and speak out and do something in a situation. But I'm trusting that God's going to anoint us in a fresh way, post-Easter, if you will, to be lights to our community. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the call to go. We thank you that resurrection's not the end of the story. We thank you that the same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead lives in us. That's what your word declares. Lives in me. Spirit is powerful. That same power of the Spirit. We know that now, Lord God, your word says that we live with resurrection power. Resurrection power upon. We're not weak. We're not people who hide. We're not people who shrink back. We know, Lord God, that we're called to be bold and courageous in you, Lord God. That's who we are. So I pray for fresh anointing, fresh equipping, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that we will shine brighter than we've been shining. I pray that we'll be the salt of the earth, the light of the world to those around us. I pray that you will help us creatively find ways and create divine appointments for us where we can speak of Jesus and tell people what you've done in our lives as well. Invite folks to you, even as Andrew said, come on, Simon. You need to meet this guy. Even as the Samaritan woman said, come and see, come and see. I pray that's who we'll be as well, we'll be as well. We need you for it, God. Strengthen us, guide us, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ.